We studied this morning about angels. We're going to finish up tonight on angels. We talked about angels being created beings. They have not always existed. They are not eternal in the past. They're almost as old as creation. Well, they are as old as creation, because in the first 6 days of creation, sometime in that time, God created angels. And so we rejoice in that. But angels are spirits. They do not have, normally, a physical body. But they are creations of God. Today we want to talk about how the Bible describes angels. We talked about some of the movies we've seen on TV and movie shows of the different angels, but all that's just man's ideas. Tonight we want to look at God, what he says about his angels, his servants. So we learned several things about angels from the scriptures. There are different types of angels, and there's a rank and there's an order among the angels. Michael is called an archangel. There are only three angels named in the Bible. Anybody think what those three angels' names are? Lucifer's one. He was an angel when he was created. So Lucifer's one. Michael's the second. Who's the third? Gabriel. Those are the three, and those are the only three mentioned by name in the Bible. So Michael is mentioned multiple places in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 10, he's called one of the chief princes of the angels. Daniel 10:3 says, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." The king of Persia was very likely a demon that was a strong demon and opposed the message that the angel was bringing to Daniel in answer to Daniel's prayer. So the demons do not want your prayers getting answered. And when you pray right away and you don't get the answer right away, it may not be that God's delaying. There may be interference of demons holding up your prayer. We don't know, because the angel told Daniel, from the day you started praying, the answer was on the way. But he had to wait 21 days because of demonic forces resisting God's work. Gabriel is mentioned in Daniel 8 and Daniel 9 as a messenger who comes from God to speak to Daniel. There's Daniel 8, verse 15. "While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. And I heard a man's voice from the Uli calling, 'Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision.' And he came near the place where I was standing. I was terrified and fell prostrate. 'Son of man,' he said to me, 'understand the vision concerns the time of the end.'" And so angels are sent to help us oftentimes understand what God is trying to tell us. So angels come along and I heard somebody tell me today, and I forget who it was. I think it might have been Nancy, whispering in your ear. Sometimes you're going along and you'll hear almost a whisper in your ear, something you need to know. Could that be angels? And the answer is it could be. It could be the Holy Spirit. But it could be angels too, because we're going to talk in just a minute about angels that are assigned to people. And angels are assigned. Gabriel was also God's messenger to Zechariah and to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, this is the message coming to Mary. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel." Now, if Gabriel went to Daniel and Gabriel went to Mary, how many years are there in between? About 550 years different. How long do angels live? Angels don't die. Angels are spirits, and spirits don't die. And so Gabriel has been alive from the creation, which is about 4,000 years before he talks to Mary here. Angels have been alive a long time. So he goes, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So we got Michael, we got Gabriel, and now we're going to look at Lucifer. Lucifer was the head angel of all the angels at his creation. When he fell, he took a third of the angels with him in rebellion against God. In Isaiah 14 and verse 12, it tells us about the fall of Lucifer. "How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You've been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nation, you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly of the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.' But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit." And so Lucifer, the star of the morning, decided he was going to be God. He's going to take over. Well, it didn't work too well for him. He's already condemned, but one day he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, the Bible teaches us, was created for the devil and his angels, demons that followed him. And so that's where he's going to wind up. But he took a third of the angels with him in rebellion against God, and those are the demons that we face today along with Satan. When we come to the Old Testament, and it talks about the angel of the Lord, every time you read that, you have to realize that's what we call a Christophany. It's a time when the Jesus Christ, the Word of God, took on a body in the Old Testament. He appeared to Abraham, he appeared to Solomon, and it was the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, taking on a body, appearing to men. And so the angel of the Lord is not the name of a strange angel or a third angel. It's the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. When you read that, realize what you're seeing is an appearance of God, because God has no body. And when men would see the Lord in a body, it was always the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible clearly teaches no one can look upon the Lord and live in all of his glory. And so when he would appear in the Old Testament, he would appear in a body, Jesus Christ appearing to mankind. Scripture tells us that God sends angels for our protection. I mentioned this morning, angels are all around us. So are demons. If the demons could have their way, they would take your life tonight. They do not want you to live and produce any more Christians. They're definitely opposed to that, and they'll do whatever they can to stop you. And so the good angels hold them back, or we would all be dead. That's all there is to it. In Psalm 91, verse 9, it says, "If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Some people have gone beyond the idea of general protection to the idea that everybody has a guardian angel, an angel that's assigned just to you all your life long. I got to tell you, there could be some truth to it. There may not be. I know preachers that preach that everybody has a guardian angel, that they're godly men. They're trying to preach the best they can. And I know other godly men that are godly preachers that say, no, we don't have a guardian angel. We have angels that protect a zone, but they're not assigned. Who's right? We don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know if you have a guardian angel that protects you all the time, or if you have a general area that the angel protects so many people. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I will say this much. In Matthew 18, verse 10, he says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. And so do little children have angels assigned to them. It looks like it. I can't tell you for sure if it's, you know, if you're a basketball player, are they playing man-to-man coverage or are they zone? It really doesn't matter. As long as you're protected, I don't care which way they do it. If it's man-to-man, that's wonderful. If I got a special angel assigned, that's good. But if they're playing zone and they're protecting four or five people at once, that's okay too, as long as you're protected. We don't care. So, some of my favorite pastors and theologians think they have guardian angels. Others say, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. You can be wrong on that one, and it won't matter a bit. There are things that are debatable matters, and we don't want to get caught up in it so much that we say, well, you're not even a Christian if you don't believe you have a guardian angel. It doesn't matter. So, angels, what do angels do? What kind of things does God assign to them? First of all, angels are God's messengers. In Luke chapter 1, verse 29, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondering what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. The very word angel in the Greek language is angelios, and it means messenger. That's what they are. They're messengers from God who bring the word of God. The Bible reveals that angels are God's servants who carry out his plans on this earth, especially plans to protect his children. That's what they're assigned to. However, they can also carry out God's judgment on this earth. A good example of that would be found in Acts chapter 12, verse 19. After Herod had a thorough search made for him, and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing the support of Blastus, the trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace, because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robe, sat on the throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not the voice of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. And so angels can be used of God to bring God's judgment on mankind. God said, I will not share my glory with anyone. If somebody calls you a god, you better tell them quick, no, not me. I don't want judgment to fall. There is one God, and Herod was not him. I'm not him. You're not him. We worship one true God. And in Revelation 16, remember we talked this morning about angels? You get a Christmas card, and on the Christmas card is a picture of a little baby, a fat little baby, bald-headed, got a harp, and he's just sitting on a cloud playing his harp. Listen to this one. Revelation 16:1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. That doesn't sound like a chubby baby to me. Those bowls of wrath are the second half of the tribulation. Those seven bowls represent the great tribulation, because the second half of the tribulation is double bad from the first half. Angels are sent to bring judgment sometimes, and you got to get used to that idea. So as we look at angels in Revelation chapter 5, angels are also worshipers of God. God made every part of his creation to worship him. Angels are no different. In Revelation 5, verse 11, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne, the living creatures, and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and under the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" How can all the creatures on the earth give praise and glory to God like that? You ever hear the donkey that talked to Balaam? We say animals don't talk. But let me ask you, before the fall, did animals talk? Who deceived Eve in the garden? It was a serpent. Serpents talk. Eagles, during the tribulation period, are going to spread the gospel. Eagles flying in the air. Animals can talk when God wants them to talk. And they're going to praise God along with the angels, along with us. Angels constantly worship the Lord. The Lord says he inhabits the praises of his people. If you want to get close to God, you just start praising him, especially when you're in a bad mood, especially when you feel he's not close. You start praising God, he'll get close. The Bible says if a man or woman will draw near to God, God will draw near to us. And the way to draw near to the Lord is to praise his name. And as we do, God will become real in our lives. In Psalm 103, verse 19, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will." When Christ was born in Bethlehem, it was the angels that did the first praising about the birth of the Messiah. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Jesus tells us that the angels rejoice every time a sinner gets saved. What about when righteous people get saved? Do the angels rejoice when righteous people get saved? Oh, there's no such thing as a righteous person. I almost forgot. I always love to tell people, do you know why Jesus came to save sinners and not the righteous? Because there are none. The only righteousness I have is in Jesus Christ. The only righteousness I'm ever going to have is going to be in Jesus Christ. I still sin. I try not to. But I was born with a sinful nature, and I'm going to sin until the day I die. I'm trying to sin less, but I still find myself saying and doing things and thinking things that I ought not. And so I'm glad my righteousness is found in another. And it's Jesus Christ. In Luke 15, verse 8, Jesus says there, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So when you got saved, whatever day that was, you sent the angels into a rejoicing mood. And I want to tell you, it's exciting to see a sinner come to saving faith. It's wonderful. And I get as excited, I think, as the angels do. It's a wonderful thing to see. Angels are also warriors fighting for the glory of their God. We're not the only one called in the struggle. But angels are as well. When Christ returns, angels are going to be coming with him along with us. Whether you know it or not, when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, the second coming, he's going to be riding on a white horse. But so are you. So I would just advise you, get your riding skills down, because you're coming back to this earth on a white stallion one of these days, all of us that are Christ. So the angels are going to be a great army accompanying the king when he comes. In Matthew 25:31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Angels also carry out warfare against demonic forces. This has been going on since creation. The good angels have been resisting Satan and the bad angels and resisting men who follow the bad example. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I've come to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. The angels are fighting against Satan and his demons. Even in heaven, the battle goes on. I always wondered, why would God allow Satan and the demons to stay in heaven? Remember when the Lord said to Satan in heaven, have you considered my servant Job? Satan, the Lord said, where have you come from, Satan? He said, from going to and fro throughout the earth. And that's when the Lord mentioned Job. How would you like to have Job mention you to Satan? Have you observed my servant, Brenda? Have you watched how she tries to live for me? What is the demon going to do when the Lord mentions that? He's going to come after Brenda, or you, or me. But God has a plan. Job really thought everything was against him, and the Lord wanted Job to learn that everything was for him. And that's what he does with us. He does allow Satan to come. In Revelation 12, verse 7, then war broke out in heaven. One of these days, we say there's no fighting in heaven, but there's going to be. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. If you can imagine how bad it's going to be on this earth when Satan is actually cast out of heaven and comes to live on this earth, I believe that's going to be the tribulation time. It's going to be the worst time mankind has ever known. But he's going to lose that battle as well. John in his vision saw an angel coming down from heaven in Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who was the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. When Satan's set free from that bottomless pit, what does he do? Anybody remember? He deceives again. People have seen the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. They've seen us because we're going to be there. They're going to see great-grandma Mimi that had been dead for 20 years, but she's in Jerusalem area ruling and reigning with Christ. But Satan's going to be loosed out of that bottomless pit, and he's going to deceive the vast majority of the people alive at that time. And our minds wonder, how in the world could he do that? How could he do that to Adam and Eve, who were walking every day in the cool of the day with the Lord? He is very, very clever. He knows how to lie in a way that you and I could never tell he's lying. He's going to tell those people, if you'll follow me, you can live however you want to, and it's going to be just fine. This Jesus that you're following, he's got all these rules. He tells you, you can't do this and you can't do that. You ought to be able to do whatever you want. And people are going to love that message. It's hard to believe, but that's what's going to happen. In Jude verse 9, Michael, most powerful of all of God's angels, did not rebuke Satan himself. When I watch pastors on television and they say, come on, Satan, we'll duke it out, that's a foolish thing to say. I don't want to duke it out with Satan. I would not have a chance. I really try to live for the Lord, but I'm not over Satan. He's way more powerful than I'll ever be. But in Jude verse 9, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you. We need to be careful how we talk about Satan. He really is powerful. The demons themselves are way more powerful than we are. We need to be careful. We need to talk with respect. They are evil, but they are very powerful. And so we'll let the Lord rebuke them. I won't rebuke them. I won't take them on one-on-one, because I'm going to lose every single time. I'll let the Lord take him on. I'll rebuke him in Jesus' name. I'll ask the Lord for his strength, not mine, because I can't win against him. How do you fight somebody you can't see? You're going to lose the battle. And so we walk with the Lord. In Revelation 12, verse 7, it records in the end times, Michael is going to defeat Satan. But still, when Michael rebuked Satan, he did it in God's name. In Revelation 12, verse 7, it says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth with his angels with him. Because demons were angels. They are spirit beings, just like the angels that are the good angels are spirit beings. So what we want to do is keep learning about our Lord, learning about the angels, because the holy angels are always obedient to God. As far as we know, after Satan led the major revolution, angels today are locked into their goodness, and the bad angels are locked into their evilness, and they can't go back and forth anymore. But again, that's just the best we understand it. I can't tell you an angel couldn't fall today. Probably could. Angels perform a protective function for God's children today. As the demons try to get us into sin, as this world tries to get us out of walking with God, the good angels protect us. I just want to give you one story at the end here. Some of you maybe remember John Patton was a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. One night, this has happened years ago, Hostile natives surrounded the mission, and they were bound determined they were going to burn John Patton and his family alive. Patton and his wife prayed all through that night for the Lord to protect them, and when they got up the next morning, the people were gone. And John Patton really wondered, why didn't they burn us out? We had no protection at all. Well, a year went by, and the chief of the tribe received Christ as Savior. So John Patton asked him that night a year ago, why didn't you burn down our house? And the chief of that tribe said, who were those hundreds of men that we saw around your house? They glowed with light, and they had huge swords drawn. And John Patton said, there was nobody here. But guess what? There was somebody there. God's angel. They protected them through the night. God's angels will protect you and I as long as the Lord wants us here. When we read that the angels will hold you up so you'll never dash your foot against a rock and no harm will come to you, that's as long as God wants you alive. As long as God wants you on this earth, you can't be touched. But when your time is up, even our Lord Jesus, he was crucified. The Apostle Paul had his head cut off. And you can go down through a whole list of the apostles. Only one lived his life out. And even he was burned in oil, John, the apostle. And so when we look at that, we say, as long as God wants me here, Satan can't harm me. When my time is up, I'm ready to go home. I don't care if he harms me. I'm going home. And this world, it sure isn't my home. And I know it's not yours. We are pilgrims. We are passing through this life. But as we pass through this life, I want to encourage you. Take as many with you as you can. Pray for your children. Pray for their children and their children. We want to see heaven full. We want to see hell, I won't say emptied, because Jesus said more are going to the lake of fire than are going to heaven. And that breaks my heart, and I know it breaks his, because the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. But the majority, Jesus said, never will. So we work and we serve along with the angels to do our Father's will. Father, how we rejoice with the knowledge of your word that angels are watching over us for our good and your glory, and one of these days we're going to be home with you. We'll be over the angels. Today, the angels are higher than we are. But we are the only creature that you made in your image. And so, Lord, one day we're going to rule and reign with Christ for all eternity. Father, bless us in the meantime that we're busy about your work. And help us to look forward to the end of time when we'll be forever with you. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.